Hey, fabulous listener. If you want to become a powerful and profitable trauma-informed coach, my business partner, Kushla, and I have a special free 5-day training starting next Monday, April 29th. To join us, you can simply message me the word powerful at Erin Anderson Trauma Coach on Instagram, or on Facebook, you can find me at Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching, and we'll send you the details so you can join us. We're going to be sharing some special training on our body, mind, energy approach to help clients have faster shifts and healing, and how we make a consistent 5 figures each month as trauma-informed coaches. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know may like, make sure you come join us for this 5-day challenge. We're going to be sharing more in there than most paid programs. Welcome to The Other Side of the Struggle. This is a podcast where we talk about trauma, how to heal it, and then how to take it and use it to unlock your mission and your potential, and to use it to live your very best dream life. When you're dealing with betrayal trauma, it can be hard to know how to heal it, how to stop the pain, and to know what your next steps are to take in your own life. And these are the questions that we try to answer here. Trauma has the ability to rob us of our joy and identity, which is why it's so miserable to experience. But with the right tools and with the right mindset, we can totally reclaim that joy and even use this trauma to strengthen ourselves so that way trauma does not knock us off of our joy again. Living your dream life should be a non-negotiable, but trauma tends to try to negotiate that with you. And even though trauma is not something that we will completely ever be free of in our life, the pain is negotiable. This is why I created Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching and this podcast, is because I want my listeners, I want my clients to live, truly live free from the prison that trauma can put you in. I want you to live on the other side of the struggle. Okay, I want you to stop what you're doing right now for just a minute, and I really want you to hear me out. I want you to go right now to erinanderson.kartra.com/page/heart of gold. There you are going to find a free meditation just for you from me. This meditation is amazing. Let me tell you a little bit about what it's going to give you, okay? Number one, it's going to help boost your confidence. If you are dealing with trauma, then you are most likely dealing with a confidence issue as well. And it's something that you are really, really wanting back. Number two, it is going to help you find security in your situations, in your life, because it's going to help you gain a sense of self-love and some self-trust. The third thing this is going to give you is an ability to escape the trauma that you're experiencing right now, this very minute, and help you find peace and joy and love and a deep appreciation for you and your experiences. This is going to really help you reconnect with yourself. So that is very, very, very important when you are dealing with healing from trauma. So again, I'm going to tell you what that website is that you need to go to. erinanderson.kartra, KARTRA.com/page/heartofgold. Capital HEARTOF, capital GOLD. Go check out this meditation. Please claim it for yourself because it is 100% a gift from me to you to help you heal right now from trauma. All my love. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Other Side of the Struggle. We've got with us the fabulous and wonderful Kushla Chadwick, and honestly one of my best friends. Like, she's so much fun to talk to, so much fun to laugh with, and man, does she ever keep life very interesting. She does. We're doing things a little differently though today. Normally with podcasts, I'll get on here and I will interview my guest, but it's actually my guest that's going to interview me today because we're talking about the brain and trauma today. And this is kind of like one of my areas of expertise and it lights me up and it's super exciting for me to explain this kind of stuff to you guys. So without further ado, welcome to Kushla.
Hey, Erin. Thank you. Hey, guys. This is exciting for me to be in the opposite seat and to be able to interview you. For those of you who don't know me, before Erin and I kind of start our interview together, in case you haven't met me, I am actually the co-founder of the Unashamed Life Coach School with Erin.
Yes.
And and it's very exciting. And we have been, as a part of the Unashamed Life Coach School, teaching about the brain and trauma. The Unashamed Life Coach School is about specializing in dealing with your own residual trauma, helping you to become exceptional at helping other people with their trauma as well. So as a coach, and then being able to go and run your own business as a coach. So we're helping with three very specific things. And as part of that, Erin has been going through and helping our clients to really understand the brain better and its impacts on trauma. So we thought it'd be really cool to talk to you guys here on the podcast about trauma in the brain. So super excited. I know this is actually going to be a shorter one. We are going to talk about this in a little bit more length in future episodes, and hopefully yep. I'll get to come and continue to ask more questions. But yeah, I just wanted to. Yes, yes, yes. And so today, I guess I want to kick off. See, she says I make her laugh, but she makes herself laugh, this woman.
It's true.
It is true.
It's so true. Fun energy, though.
It is fun. It is fun. In the Unashamed Life Coach School, you talk about the trauma cycle. So I think that's a really good place for us to start. Can you explain a little bit about the trauma cycle and maybe how it begins, how we might be able to prevent it, and then how we can get out of it? Those are three big questions. That might take up a whole time.
You might have to remind me.
Let's just start off with what's the trauma cycle?
So the trauma cycle, let me first preface it this way by saying that the brain loves predictability. This is why we are creatures of habit, because once we have a certain circumstance, our brain just goes immediately to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And before we know it, we're in our result and we're like, oh, what just happened? Right? Why am I here? And so the trauma cycle is actually one of those pathways that the brain relies on. And the reason why is because within it, there's like a safety factor. We kind of like, it doesn't make us feel safe, but we've tricked ourselves into believing that this is what we do to feel safe, if that makes sense. And so the first instance is the trigger or the circumstance. Okay. Something happened. And it's causing you to feel a certain way, or maybe bringing up memories, to bring up past events, like whatever it is that's causing the emotional reaction, because the brain has had experience with this in some way, shape, or form. The second part is often re-traumatized, because, you know, giving just a little bit of some background here, I've been in 3 car crashes. Now, yes. I have not received a ticket, so I'm still a good driver. So there's that. Okay. It was not my fault. All 3 times. Well, no, the first time was my fault, but I still didn't receive a ticket. But anytime I'm in a car now, because they were major car crashes, my life could have been taken easily in any 3 of these. Whenever I'm in a car, it's just a little bit of that anxiety, right? Because my brain is familiar with, if you get in a car, this is what could happen. And so I have to actually be very, very careful and make sure that I'm constantly staying in my logical brain, which we'll get into in just a minute. So that's the re-traumatize portion.
Yeah.
The third piece here is the reaction and the blame. So we get triggered. We get re-traumatized, and all of a sudden now we've got the emotion and the thoughts that are coming with this event. It's very natural to say, oh, because this person pushed me out of my lane on I-15 going 80 miles an hour, which actually happened for me, right? That anybody that drives like an idiot, oh, I'm just going to sit there and like honk at my horn and like yell at them and tell them like they're dumbest person on the planet, even though they can't hear me, right? And like, and so it's easy to get kind of worked up and like get your emotions and, you know, cause more of the reaction than necessary, right?
Can I just say,
yeah,
when you told me about the car accidents the first time, I was like, holy smokes. Like, I do think it's a massive achievement that you even drive again. But at the same time, I'm like, of course you do, you know. Because, well, number one, you want to get around. And so that's something that you've dealt with, right? But also it was really interesting for you and I to talk about, you know, what it's been like for you to be triggered and re-traumatized, and then how you react as you've gone through. And so I think it would be really cool to speak to your podcast listeners about this, because this is something where I don't know if this is safe for me to say. I think it's safe for me to say, right? But this is something
that I hope so.
Yeah. I think this is something that, Erin, you're still working on improving a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's something that you've done a lot of work on. Mm-hmm. You've made tons of improvements, which is why you can go out and do all the daily things and all of that stuff. But also you've recognized that your body still has a reaction, right? Your body still has, it's a mild reaction, but it's still a reaction. And that mild reaction still has an impact on other areas of your life. And that's for all of us. It's not just for Erin in this instance, but anytime we are in this trauma cycle of, you know, being triggered and re-traumatized and then having a reaction, like it's the same for all of us. When there's anything, and particularly if it's mild, we're almost tempted just to like brush it under the rug, right?
Yeah.
Which is in what you've been doing to an extent. You've got it to a stage where it's okay, you're coping. But that's not thriving.
It's not
ideal.
Yeah, it's not thriving.
It's still in the cycle, right?
Yes. Oh, it totally is. It totally is. And, you know, and I will say, like, there's still a lot of work that I'm still doing over this. Like, one of the things that I've been doing recently is I will put in my ears, like, no, I don't know that I would suggest this for everyone that's dealing with, like, you know, trauma from a car crash. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm the kind of person that cannot fall asleep behind the wheel. Like, I just can't. It doesn't happen. So I'll put in like meditation music in my ears, because what it does is it immediately calms my body down, and it releases it kind of slows down the cortisol levels that are being released, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not feeling so stressed, and I'm able actually to get more into my mind and to actually do some processing and some get kind of deeper into what's really happening. So that's just like one of the things I've been doing. But like, I want to also point out to the fact that the brain, because it's very predictable and it wants to go in these cycles over and over and over and over again, it needs something to break the cycle. Now, one of the things that, you know, one of the boundaries that I have given myself is that I don't live in fear. You know, and that doesn't mean that sometimes I don't still get stopped by fear, but I don't live in fear. And so the very, like, it's just a little bit of a story here. It was about 5 years ago. I was driving 80 down the interstate with my three oldest boys coming home from a dental appointment, and somebody literally pushed me out of my lane. You know, we were about to their exit. They realized all of a sudden that their exit was coming up, and they just boom right into me. And I swerved to get out of the way. And when I swerved, my front axle broke. Right. And then I spun across all the lanes of traffic, hitting the center divide. We survived. Obviously, I'm still here. Uh-huh. I'm doing a podcast, right?
Yeah.
But the very next thing, like, the reaction I wanted to take was never get in a car again, never get on the freeway again, never, 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 never. And I'm not even joking. The very next day, I got in my other vehicle and I drove up north on the freeway at 80 because I was like, no, 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 no. We're not doing this. Yeah. Awesome. We're not doing this, right? And I was like, it's okay. You're going to be fine, you know, and I'm going to prove it to you. And so I let my logical brain do more of the talking, but it takes a lot of practice to get into that state, because when you've got trauma, and we'll get into like what's actually happening in the brain when you've got trauma happening, but when you've got this, there are certain areas of your brain that actually naturally shut down, and your logic and reasoning part of the brain is one of those places that shut down. So what we want to talk about next is the fourth part of this cycle, which is coping and avoidance. So that's kind of what I wanted to do, right? I wanted to avoid driving ever again. I wanted to avoid the freeway. I just wanted to avoid it all. Never again. Like, horse and buggies sounded great at this part of my journey. But I was like, that's not realistic, Erin. Come on, right? And then the control factor. Now, this is kind of an interesting piece, like going back to my story. You know, I was really ticked off at that person. I was like, do you just realize what you did? Like, what you created, right? And, you know, that's kind of an attempt at control. You know, and you're kind of the mastermind at the energy field, but that's me actually putting something into the energy to slap that guy, right? Uh-huh. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, but we don't realize that. And so me getting angry and at the person that caused the crash is my attempt at control. But the problem with that is then it causes another trigger, which causes the re-traumatization, the reaction, the brain, the coping and avoidance and the control. And it's just this nasty, nasty cycle.
Yeah. And the reality is you're not able to control him as a driver. You can't jump in his body, right? And so that's right. So it's just natural that we're going to stay in the cycle when we're trying to seek control for something that's out of our control, because we have control of ourselves. Right?
Yes, exactly.
And that's it. And I'll say we have control of ourselves more when we actually get ourselves out of the cycle.
Yes.
It's
a lot more control when you get out of the cycle.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is absolutely fine to have an event happen that's deeply impactful in a negative way.
Yeah.
And get in the cycle. But the trick is to recognize it, right? To recognize that we're in this, and to then do the work And that's the hard work, the inner work. Sometimes hard, sometimes it's super easy, just depending on our approaches to it, right? But
right.
But I think regardless of how it's feeling for you, that's the work, is to recognize, this is where I'm at, and to take ourselves out of it. And you mentioned logical brain, logical brain or logical mind. For me, usually I try to differentiate and just say the conscious, like the conscious, you know, awareness.
Conscious mind, yeah.
Yeah, or the subconscious, right? Subconscious is running the program, you know, most people say about 95% of the time. I think for most of us, it might even be like 98% of the time, right? We do very little original thinking. But anyway, and it's the conscious mind. It's the part where we have our awareness of what's happening, which really can be powerful and help us to get back in there and get out of the trauma cycle. So I wanted to ask you, now you've gone through the cycle and you've shared the experience of what happened with you in the car, what is it that you've done? What are some steps that you've taken to get yourself out of the trauma cycle? And what can someone who maybe they haven't been in a car accident, you know, but they've experienced something, whether it's kind of a low level kind of challenge or a really deep, big trauma, what can someone do to get themselves out of this continuing cycle? Because this is something that can just keep going for the rest of your life.
Yes. And it can make you feel like more a victim, less power, less control, and more hopeless. And that's something like my clients come to me a lot. And, you know, one thing I hear from my major ticket clients is, you made me feel hope. Like, I feel hope. And that's literally what people are wanting.
Yeah.
Right. And so that does, it takes breaking the cycle. But let me first and foremost say that, like, the minute my car stopped, my frontal lobe was not working. I was sitting there like, oh, and you guys can put the expletive in there. Like, I'm not going to swear on this podcast, but
far
I was
out.
Thinking it. Ah, crap, right? I was thinking it. And to be honest with you, after a trauma or even a re-trigger of the trauma, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes for blood flow actually to get back into the different pieces of your brain to get you feeling human again, you know, because your brain is so amazing. Like, it literally, when it recognizes that, oh, this is not going to be good, mm-hmm. right? This is going to hurt. It draws everything back into the center portion of your brain, because that's where your survival instincts are, is right there in the center. And you just totally go into survival mode.
Yeah.
Right. 10 to 15 minutes after the incident is when you can actually start to process. And this is the point, like, this is why I'm saying, like, for women, for men and women that find themselves in some sort of a traumatic event and they froze, this is why. It's because your brain just literally drives everything in, and it's like, oh, I'm in survival mode. It just puts you right in survival mode. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes before you can actually say, now what?
And right? Can I say there, while you're talking about that and the, like, all the power kind of going, like, being drained out, you can actually see this with the right scans, right? Mm-hmm. So the brain and the heart, they emit certain frequencies and energies, and they emit a really strong energy field when they're coherent, when they're working together beautifully, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a trauma, you're talking about that 10 to 15 minutes to recover, it's, instead of that energy going out, it's like sucked. We're just sucking energy from out of, you know, out of like the ether to try and get energy back to our brain, blood flow back to the parts of our brain that need it, and our heart as well. So I know we're focusing on the brain today, but yeah. So tell us what happens after the 10 to 15 minutes. How can we get ourselves back into, like, healing, coping with what's happened, all of that good stuff?
This is where we get to take an evaluation. We've got to first and foremost be aware, because this is when your frontal lobe actually starts to wake up again, mm-hmm. right? And you can say, okay, this is what happened. This is how I feel. But the next part is the do. What am I going to do about it? So, you know, going back to my, you know, car crash story, this is what happened. I was just in another car crash on I-15. That's scary. Okay, that's the event. That's actually what happened. The re-traumatization. This is the third freaking time this happened. What is going on, right? And I gave myself some time to just, over it. Like, really?
No one wants faces really? Like you do.
I know, right? I've been called the next Lucille Balls. Yes, I have. So, but we've got that. But then after, instead of going into reaction and blame, because this is what the do part is. If you think about reaction and blame, that's a do, right? If we think to ourselves, what am I going to do? That is where we actually break the cycle. For me, it was, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to go home. I'm going to freaking get my keys to my other car. And I'm just going to drive up here again.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I felt like a bad A right there. I'll tell you that much. Because I was not happening. No, right? We're not doing this. We're not playing this game. Because I recognized what was happening. And I think it's just being aware at some point in the cycle, being aware that you're in it.
Yeah. Okay. I can relate. I have had car accidents, not to the degree that you've had. But one thing I did, I was probably about 15 at the time. I was in a speed skating accident. I used to do roller speed skating, and mm-hmm. it happened to be in a, it was actually like recreational, but it was like advanced. So there were a lot of people who did competitive speed skating who would come and visit this particular skating rink, and it was nighttime and it was advanced speed skate. And there was a whole line of us, you know, when skaters skate really close together, like bent over and really close.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so there's a whole row of us, and we're on this bank track coming down the bank, which is the fastest, you know, part of it when you're coming down off the bank, ready to go on the flat part of the rink. And, I was third in line, and the two guys in front of me, they didn't skate competitively. Everyone else in the pack did, but the two guys in front, for some reason, they didn't. And they were, you know, and they were mucking around a little bit, and they fell over. And we were coming down so fast, and I was so close to them, I went to jump, and I jumped, flipped over, and smashed my face, and my legs went flying over. It looked like I broke my neck and my back. And anyway, I ended up with a nose that was like this wide for a little while and lips that were like this fat. Literally for a week, the only thing I could fit in my mouth was a straw, and all my teeth were loose, and my gum was cut up. You can still see this little scar where my teeth come through, right? And anyway, so I looked like the Beast out of Beauty and the Beast, something like that, right? Actually, you guys are thinking of the cartoon. That's even too good, right? There's a TV series Beast. That's who I was thinking of. But anyway, it took me about a week, like by the time I got out of the hospital and recovered a little bit, still looking ghastly, I decided, you know, as soon as I was able to get out of the house and out and about, I went down to the skating rink. And because I worked there, I could go in at any time. And just by myself, I just started skating again. Because I decided, like, if I don't get on my skates again now, I'm afraid I might not ever, like, I need to get out there again. And so even though I wasn't fully recovered physically, I decided to mentally step up to the plate. And I say this, and I know some of you, the situation that re-traumatized you is not something that you want to put yourself back into, right?
Yeah.
And so this might not be the action that you take, just because Erin and I are both using examples where we went back to the environment, which was difficult for us and helped us to rewire our brain to say, actually, we are safe here. You know, there might be another option that someone who is like not smart to put yourself back into the situation,
which
the environment, which created the trauma.
Like an abusive husband. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, for something like that, get out.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. But you've got to decide on the action. That's what it was for me, and that's what it was for Erin. But, you know, how do they decide what that action is going to be? How do they decide what to do when their brain is still in that place of, yeah, they might have calmed down after that 10 to 15 minutes, but they're still feeling like the stuff's not resolved yet, right?
Yeah.
All the underlying trauma is not resolved yet. So how do they actually decide or come up with a way of what to do, or what do they need to know so that they can step out of that trauma cycle?
So how do you feel about boundaries? It's a legitimate question. A lot of people come to me really struggling with this concept. They often feel guilty for setting boundaries, or they're not sure about even what a boundary is. You know, they've heard the term, set the boundary, things like that, but that's really confusing for them because it's not something that's well taught in our society nowadays, right? They know that boundaries are really important to having healthy, constructive, supportive, and wonderful relationships, but why? And oftentimes they also know that they feel like their boundaries are being violated, but they can't quite pinpoint what the boundary is that's being violated. That's why I've created the Clarifying and Creating Your Boundaries free PDF. You can find out what your boundaries are, how to tune in to what the boundary needs to be, and how to effectively create and communicate your boundary. So that way you stay in this place that respects you, respects the other person, but also gives you the confidence in your boundaries. So that way you stop being gaslighted, disrespected, and unseen. So having your boundaries really clear gives you a voice and also helps the other person stay in accountability with themselves. So that's not a role that you have to take on anymore. So if you are ready to really have clear boundaries, to really understand what your role is in the boundary, and to give yourself some safety and some protection against people that might try to gaslight you or are just being disrespectful, go grab my Creating and Clarifying Your Boundary PDF at erinandersonthetraumacoach.com. And while you're there, let's schedule a call with me. Come have a chat with me so that way I can really, really help you master this particular skill, creating boundaries, clarifying the boundary, communicating that boundary. And so that way I can also help you have relationships that show up to support you, cherish you, and love you. So, you know, that's a really good question. You know, thinking back to the woman that has been in an abusive relationship, you know, let's talk about that for just a second, because yeah, that is definitely a situation where you don't want to return to. Yeah. Just to get your brain to be like, oh, we're safe here. No, as a matter of fact, you're not.
Yeah.
And it's okay to admit that too. It's okay to say, no, I'm actually not safe here. And I think that's the number one thing, is to actually take a look and say, am I safe or am I not? But also, what are the emotions that are coming here? See, a lot of people, we get really, really scared of what the emotion is. And we're scared of emotions. And I think this is part of the reason why you see so much struggle in society nowadays, is because a lot of people have shut that part of themselves down. But when we can feel the emotion, sit with it for just a few minutes,
yes,
and ask ourselves this question, why is this here? What is this? What is it here to teach me?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
I would say, though, even before we get to those questions, because those are powerful questions, but initially there's a neuroscientist, and I think her name's Jill Bolte. Actually, I think I've missed a part of her name, but I know for sure it's Jill, right? And she, I'm pretty sure it's Bolte. Anyway, she's amazing. She's done some amazing work on the brain. And one of the things you and I talk about, Erin, is how she did this work and proved that any emotion that we're experiencing if we just will sit with it and not try and push it away, not try and do anything with it, but just sit with it, then it will naturally chemically burn itself out of our body within 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, and that means not re-triggering, not kind of revisiting in our brain what's just happened. It doesn't mean trying to collate any thoughts. It's just sitting purely with the emotion. And a good way that I describe it is think of someone telling a really funny joke, right? and you laugh when someone tells a funny joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not natural to think that was really funny. Let me just push it down and I'll come back and laugh about that in an hour or in a month from now, right?
No, and or, that or just saying that's now. Hilarious, right? Because we want to enjoy that.
Uh-huh, right? Exactly. And so what happens, we can make ourselves laugh again when we're like, oh, we remember and we think about it. We're like, oh, maybe we're remembering the joke and we laugh again. Oh, that was really funny. Uh-huh.
Yes.
We re-trigger the memory. And that's great because it's positive. But the thing is, like, just like we don't want to push away a laugh, and I will say, if we just sit there, eventually we're going to stop laughing. Like, if we don't rethink of the joke and we don't retell the joke in our heads, naturally that chemical reaction that's making us want to laugh and like hitting off all these awesome dopamine hits and all these other good reactions that are happening in our body, they will burn out after a while. They'll stop happening because, like, we've just sat with it. And it's the same with any emotion, whether it's anger, sadness, disgust, any of it. Sit there with it and let it chemically run out of our body. Then we can ask ourselves the really powerful questions. It might be immediately after. It might be, you know, we might just take some time for a little bit, maybe an hour, half an hour, whatever, but then come back to those questions. I think that's really powerful.
Well, and when you're sitting with it too, like, a lot of people don't realize, like, I've actually been laughed at when I say, well, what do I do when I realize that I am feeling this way? Breathe. You just sit and you feel it and you breathe. And I've actually had people laugh at me when I say that. I'm like, no, I'm actually very serious.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that breath work and just the deep breathing is going to keep you rooted in the spot. And it's kind of like this. I have a rooster, right? And we call him Coco Loco for a reason. He's very protective of his flock.
Oh, wow.
To an extreme.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I call it like sitting with the rooster. Okay? One of the things you have to do with the frickin' rooster that's Coco Loco is you have to hold him.
Whoa. Wow.
Not even joking. You have to pick him up and you have to hold him and you have to sit there and pet him. Breathe with him and just sit there. Like, that is what you do with a crazy rooster. Even though he wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Right? You just pick him up and you sit there and you love him.
Yep.
And don't do it without muck boots either. But the thing is like, it's like that. Sometimes we have this fear. Sometimes we have anxiety, discomfort, anger, all of these emotions that are negative, quote unquote, emotions, and we want to turn our back and run like heck. But the best thing you can do with the rooster is sit there. Don't let it like tell you to back off. You don't back off.
Yeah.
Because you've got to show at some point that you're in control. You're the boss. You're the one that has the final say. And sitting with the emotion and breathing through it is doing exactly that. It's saying, hey, you know what? I'm actually in control. This is what it is. And even though I feel XYZ, I'm still choosing to be in control here.
Yeah. And we'll say, when Erin says I'm in control, we're not meaning that we're in control of everything that's out there that's happening, right? Because what's created the trauma might be something that you have no control over whatsoever, right? Like Erin had no control, has no control, even though she gets back on the road, of how other drivers drive.
Right.
I have no control if I'm skating in a pack with other people of what the people in front of me are doing. If you have a spouse or someone you love who's abusive to you, you have no control over their body and what they do because you're not in their body. But what we're talking about is you have control of what you think and what you feel. You have control of your inner world. And when we go into our inner world, that's where we get to really create ahead of time what it is that we really want to create in our life. I mean, we've been speaking about the trauma cycle, and it's like not even that pleasant a topic to talk about, right? But what happens is when we get awareness of where we are, we're able to really pause, feel the emotions, ask ourselves powerful questions that allow us to get out of the cycle and then really get into that space where we have that brain coherence, that heart coherence.
Right.
And really start getting into that powerful place of creating what it is that we want. It just happens to be on the back end of an experience that we didn't particularly like.
Right.
You know?
But the thing is you're also talking about the power of the do. Because if we have the power to experience, then we also have the power to do, which also gives us the power over our actions and our results, right? And we talk about this also in, you know, the Unashamed Life Coach School, and you call it the CTFAR,
and I call it
the 5-step thought process, right?
Yeah.
It's both the same thing. It's the exact same thing. And once you get into these processes, and you can realize, oh, this is the steps. This is the process that gets me from A to B.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it a lot easier for you to sit with what's actually happening.
Yeah. Awesome. I know we haven't really had much time to really go into the, not much time. I know we haven't really like taken the time to go into the brain too much today. I would love it if we could have another conversation and That's go good. And talk more about the brain as well, but because it's time that we wrap up with this.
Yeah,
one.
It is.
Yeah. But I do want to ask you, like if there was one thing that someone who is, they've recognized where they are, that they've recognized that they're in the cycle of trauma and they're ready to take their life back. They're ready to become a powerful creator of their life rather than feel like they're the victim of circumstance. What's one thing that you think anyone could do who really just wants to get their life back? And one thing that you would recommend someone to do and really, I'm like, I want to ask you this exact question, but it's just not coming to mind right now. But yeah, the question is really, what's one thing that you would recommend your people to do in terms of doing like an action or maybe going within and thinking or feeling to make sure that they get into that space of being a powerful creator in their life?
Well, number one, you mentioned a very powerful word there, and that is creator. You know, yes. I will tell you that, you know, in my own personal experience, the reason why I've been able to heal from betrayal trauma, I'm working on healing from vehicle trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even daily traumas, cause they still happen and you know, they do. I mean, like I said, I probably talk to you more than anyone, about what happens in my day to day life. But the reason why I'm able to heal is because I am very clear in what I'm creating. And this is like such a big pivotal piece here. Like people are creative. Our highest level of intelligence is actually creation. When we get into creation, we get into a very high level of self-awareness. And when you get into that high level of self-awareness, all of a sudden you start feeling excited. You start feeling joyful. You start feeling like all of these amazing things, and you start getting the drops in your bucket that you're desiring now to move forward. to actually get out of the cycle.
Our brain state when we are in creation is at its highest. Yeah. And if you were to have a look at the scans and stuff, you actually start to see your heart's literally filling with like there's a surge of blood going to the heart and your lung capacity's going out, and that and your brain has its energy frequency, you know, it goes out, your heart draws in. So you, when you start to get into this heart coherence and this brain coherence and you're flooding your body with all this amazing energy,
yep,
right, then that's when you really get into this powerful creation mode.
Yeah, of, you know, it's beautiful.
You just put the information in there and, you know, bang. Some of the things you can do that you thought were previously impossible become so clearly possible to you.
Yes.
And we get some exciting results happening when we get into that state. But it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you for letting me be the guest the guest interviewer on your podcast today.
Well, it's been fun. Like, I love talking about this stuff. Yeah. It's exciting.
Awesome. So I look forward to another conversation. And for those of you, I know some of you have already asked about when are we doing the next round of the Unashamed Life Coach School. You can jump on a waiting list. So Erin will have a waiting list on the podcast link. And and we'll keep you informed and let you know when the next round is going to open.
Yep.
So if you really want to make sure that you're really good at dealing with your own crap. I'm not afraid to say that word because that's not a bad word here where I live.
It's not here either.
Yeah. So if you really want to be good at dealing with your own stuff and become better at it and also be able to do an amazing job of helping your clients, even if you don't call yourself a trauma coach, obviously being able to deal with trauma eloquently is helpful to anyone because we all go through it. Like life is so 50-50, you know, so amazing and good and so hard and difficult at times. So it's something we've got to learn to deal with. So if you want to be able to do that, and also, you know, I really love helping coaches to like, to get momentum and really, So we go over all of that in Unashamed Life Coach School. You can get on the waiting list and we'll send you out stuff to let you know. But thank you for being on here. Thanks for talking with us about the trauma cycle today. And lots of love and sunshine from me. And
yes. I'll
hand it back to you.
And don't forget to take a look at the description below. So it'll be there one form or another. Make sure if you guys are one that that waiting list, just to leave your email and we'll get ready for you. So anyway, thanks so much, Kushla, for being with us today.
My pleasure. I got a bit stuttery there because I was like, so cold. Actually, it's really cold in my office.
It's like so hot over here. Like it's totally flip flopped now.
But it's been my pleasure.
All right, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us today, and we'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, my loves, are you tired of feeling overwhelmed, like you have lost yourself in the trauma, and like you have to control everyone and their decisions all the time? If that is you, then I have a brand new freebie just for you to help you start to organize your life and your time to start reflecting more of what it is you truly want. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard clients and potential clients say that they just wish that they could find themselves again after the trauma, that the trauma is consuming their every thought and that they just cannot move past it, and that they're feeling super, super overwhelmed by life and their responsibilities, and that they just don't have time for themselves anymore. The aim with Organize for Healing is simply to help you simplify, get some answers, figure it out what it is that you truly do want, start gaining the confidence in yourself, in your decisions, and discover yourself again, to get clear with who you are, have your own back, and become your own best friend. Because my loves, when you truly, truly have those things, you are in true healing mode and in a mode where trauma cannot disrupt you again. So if you are ready to take some simple actions and simplify your life and to start getting back into play mode and start reclaiming your confidence, your desires, and your life and identity again, go grab my free PDF, Organize for Healing. It is in the link below in the descriptions. Go grab it, and I will see you on the other side. From my heart to your heart. Bye. Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me today and listening in on this podcasting episode. Don't forget to tune in next week. It's gonna be awesome.